Let's turn together now to John chapter 3. And this morning we'll read there in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. It's the story of Nicodemus. However, as I was working on it this week, those verses 1 through 21, it was turning into a rather long sermon. Now, I thought about just going for it. You know, a real endurance test, a real sort of sermon marathon, and see who could last the longest. Some of you would be nodding off, and some would be leaving out the door. And I'm sure I'd be getting a lot of glares, but then that seemed kind of not very productive, not very edifying, even though I was tempted. So we're going to read verses 1 through 21, but we're going to take it in two smaller sections. And next Lord's Day, we'll have a guest preacher, so it's going to be a couple weeks before we get back to it, Lord willing. But we're going to really tackle verses 1 through 9 of these verses, but I'd like to read the whole of that section. Now, I think a lot of you are familiar with the story of Nicodemus. And one of the wonderful things about stories we're familiar with is that there's always something more to learn, and that's very exciting to add that in to what we know. And when I say John 3, you also, again, know that very famous verse, John 3:16. And we'll be looking at that in a couple weeks. So we're really just getting introduced to Nicodemus and his questions and Jesus' interaction with him here in verses 1 through 9, and then we'll pick it up again in a couple weeks. First, we need to pray, and then we'll read those verses. Father, we ask now that as we open your word, that the eyes of our hearts would be opened, that your spirit would be at work powerfully through the reading and preaching of your word, that we'd have eyes to see, ears to hear, that we would take this word in. It wouldn't just go in one ear and out the other. We wouldn't just think, oh, I've heard this story before, but that you would cause us to see what we always need to see in your word, and that is Jesus. And we thank you for your word to us, and we ask your blessing now upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a little bit of a lengthier reading, those 21 verses, but if you are able, I invite you to stand. I invite you to stand for the reading of God's word, John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. This is God's word. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, but unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, and that they have been done in God. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. As John reminds us often, we live in a dark world. We live in a dark world. A world that's fallen, a world that's broken, a world ruined by the fall. But that darkness is not just out there. It's a darkness that's in here, in our hearts, in your heart and in mine. We're a fallen people, a broken people, a people ruined by the fall. Now that, of course, is no secret to God. That's no surprise to him. And no secret to Jesus in the time of his earthly ministry. Jesus knows what is in our hearts. He knows what is in the heart of man. We saw that at the end of chapter 2, leading into this chapter. If you're looking there at the last verse of chapter 2, look at the last phrase of John chapter 2, which is leading into this story of Nicodemus. It says there at the end of chapter 2, he knew what was in man. And now notice the way chapters and verses are added in, but he knew what was in man, and now notice the way chapter 3 begins, the first phrase of chapter 3. Now there was a man. John's connecting these texts for us. Jesus knows what is in man, and then we read in chapter 3, there was a man. Jesus knows what is in this man, this particular man, and he knows what Nicodemus needs. But he also knows what is in your heart, and he knows what is in my heart, and he knows what you and I need. He knows what is needed to take away our darkness, our blindness, and to bring us into the light so that we might see. And so here in our text, Jesus gives a message. Jesus is preaching a sermon, and he's proclaiming God's love for the world and to the world. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, I think it is noteworthy that the first thing John tells us about this man is not his name, but the fact that he's a Pharisee. In the list of things, this is first. Now, the Pharisees, of course, were the religious elite of the day, the religious leaders and sort of experts. And it's significant that this particular man is a Pharisee of Pharisees. Remember what had just happened at the end of chapter 2. Jesus came to Jerusalem. He came to the temple, and he cleansed it. And he rebuked the Jews, and he pointed all those who were there in the temple questioning his authority to do all of this. He pointed all of them to himself. Well, certainly Nicodemus, this ruler of the Jews, this Pharisee of Pharisees, knew what Jesus had done. It would not have escaped his attention, because you notice that he is not only of the Pharisees, but we read in verse 11 that he is also a ruler of the Jews. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means he's a member of the Sanhedrin. The rulers of the Jews were part of a group of 70 men called the Sanhedrin. And they ruled the Jews in terms of their religion and their rituals and the regulations. And in fact, it's quite possible that he was the top man of the Sanhedrin. A true Pharisee of Pharisees. In verse 10, Jesus will call him the teacher, or in other translations, the ruler. And that article is important. And so in this man, Nicodemus, we have not only a Pharisee, but a Pharisee of Pharisees, a man who was a ruler of the Jews, certainly in that the Sanhedrin, the 70 men in Judaism at the top of Judaism, but maybe even the top of those. He is a man who embodies everything that Judaism stands for. But here's the great irony. Here's the great irony. This man who has reached the very pinnacle of Judaism, a Pharisee of Pharisees, a leader of the Jews in the Sanhedrin, here's a man who dwells in darkness. Notice what we read in verse 2. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs. No one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Now, you've already seen in John's gospel, especially in the introduction, but it'll be a continuing theme as we go through this book, that John makes much of the contrast and conflict between light and dark. between the darkness and between the light. And remember those words in the introduction. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Well, here also John is making much of a contrast, of that contrast and conflict between light and darkness. Here in verse 2 is a reference, yes, to the time of day, but it's more than that. It is night, but it's referencing something much darker. This is a reference not only to the time of day, but a reference to Nicodemus's spiritual condition. Now, we'll see that more as we go on, but Nicodemus is covered at this point by darkness. Verse 19 will tell us, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. The darkness has overcome Nicodemus. Yet, Nicodemus is a man who observes all the Jewish rituals and regulations and rites. He's a strict observer of the law. He's even added to the law to be sure that he is strictly observing it. And yet, he's blind, and he's blind to his own blindness, and he walks in darkness. He knows only those rites and those rituals, but he knows nothing of the sweet wine of the gospel that Jesus has come to bring. And at this point in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, as Nicodemus first comes to Jesus, he does not yet possess the wedding garment that Jesus alone can provide. He knows nothing of that sweet wine of the gospel. He knows nothing of what it means to be invited to the marriage supper of the bride and the lamb. He is a man outside. He is in the darkness. And he comes to Jesus in the darkness, blinded by the darkness of his heart. And all he sees is that Jesus is some sort of teacher, some sort of guru, come from God because of the signs that he does. And he calls Jesus teacher. He says, we know that you come from God and that God is with you because of the signs you've done. But at this point in the text, Nicodemus does not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And so he does not yet have life in his name. Now, what is Jesus going to do with such a man? Well, Jesus speaks to him. Jesus speaks to this man in his darkness to draw him out of darkness and to bring him into the light. Look at what Jesus says to him in verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, before we even delve into those words, make sure you don't miss the fact that Jesus doesn't cast out this Pharisee of Pharisees. He doesn't cast out this self-righteous man. He doesn't cast out this Pharisee who believes that he does have something in his hands to bring to God, who believes he can merit something of his salvation. Jesus, as we have already seen in John's gospel and will continue to see, Jesus is ever the friend of sinners. Even this man blinded by Jewish rites, he is the friend even of this Pharisee. And so hear the words then that Jesus proclaims. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus goes immediately to the heart of the issue with this Pharisee. He knows what is in man. He knows what is in this man. He knows what is in his heart. And Jesus goes right to the heart of the issue. Nicodemus, you can't see. You think you've got it all figured out. You can't see. Nicodemus, you're blind to the kingdom of God. You live in darkness, the darkness of your sin, even more the darkness of your self-righteousness. Nicodemus, what you need is to be born again. Literally, Jesus says there, you need to be born from above. You need to be born from above. If you want to see the kingdom of God, well then, Nicodemus, God must give you new birth. God must take away your blindness. God must give you eyes to see. God must draw you out of darkness into light. You must be reborn. God must raise you from the dead and give you that birth that is from above. So Jesus begins immediately to declare to Nicodemus what he needs. What he needs. What every sinner needs. It's what you and I need. We are absolutely and completely, utterly dependent upon God to do this sovereign work of grace in our hearts. He has to draw us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that is nothing less than being born again, being born from above. You can't do it, Nicodemus. You can't do this. And this is what Jesus begins to do with Nicodemus here. He's drawing Nicodemus in. Look at what he says, Nicodemus says in response in verse 4. And he said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Well, now we see something more of Nicodemus' blindness, don't we? In his blindness to spiritual things, heavenly things, he can only understand in these earthly terms. He doesn't get it. How is he going to do this? As a Pharisee, he thought he was doing everything right. He thought he was living a life pleasing to God and that his righteousness was enough to render him acceptable before God. He doesn't, in other words, know the depths of his depravity, the depths of his sin. He doesn't know the bankruptcy of his own works righteousness. He doesn't know that what he is bringing in his hands could never make him acceptable before God, could never make him acceptable before the throne of a holy and righteous God. What Nicodemus brings in his hands that he is trusting in, what he brings are filthy rags, dung. He doesn't yet know his need for a Savior because he's still in the darkness. And so what does Jesus do next? Well, he speaks again to Nicodemus. Look at verses 5 through 8. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Now again, before we look at Jesus' words here to Nicodemus, don't miss the fact that Jesus continues to dialogue with this man. Jesus is and ever remains the friend of sinners. He's not deterred. He's not yet finished with this man, this Pharisee of Pharisees. Indeed, Jesus' response begins to lengthen. He expands on what he has said in verse 3. Here we learn that to be born from above is to be born of water and spirit. What does that mean? What does it mean to be born of water and spirit? Well, some have seen reference to physical birth and spiritual birth, some to baptism, although baptism is not yet instituted. But I think there's something else going on here. Think of John's gospel again. And we have seen in John's gospel up to this point, we'll continue to see, that John has in mind the things that transpired in the early chapters of Scripture, those foundational things that were lost. He has in mind creation in the beginning. And remember how there in the beginning was both water and spirit. There at creation in Genesis 1:2, and the Spirit hovered over the face of the deep. There was waters over the face of the earth, and the Spirit was hovering over them. And then, as you read through the Bible, as you continue to read in Scripture, especially into the prophets, you find that that same image is picked up and developed by the prophets, especially in regard to the new creation. The new creation. The Spirit is hovering. And it's described in terms of water and the Spirit. Passages like Isaiah 32, passages like Isaiah 44, and Ezekiel 36, for example. You find this same connection. And I think this is what Jesus has in mind here. This is what John is speaking of here. As Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, he is proclaiming the kingdom of God to him and proclaiming that kingdom as a new creation, born of the Spirit. And he's telling Nicodemus very clearly that you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You cannot even see this kingdom. You cannot enter it simply by being born of the flesh. If you're simply born of the flesh, you're still in the dark. You need something more. We need that birth from above, and that is to be born of the Spirit as a new creation. We need to be born again. What's the evidence that we've been born of the Spirit? If it's not some sort of physical re-entering a womb and being born again, what is the evidence that we've been born of the Spirit? What is the evidence that we have been given this birth from above, this new life? Well, the evidence is in the life you live. And Jesus makes reference to that here when he speaks of the wind. It says, you know, we don't know where the wind comes from. We don't know where the wind is going. But we can hear it. We can see it, its effects. We can feel it. We can see the leaves rustling in the trees. We can see the changes that the wind brings about. We can feel that. And so Jesus says, this is what it is like when anyone is born from above. This is what it's like for someone to be born of the water and the Spirit. You might not understand everything about its working. I know not how God's Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, creating life within. But you see the evidence of it. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able. Now, commenting on this verse, R.C. Sproul says, there is an absolute requirement that must be met if a person is to enter God's kingdom. That's what Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about, seeing God's kingdom, entering God's kingdom, because he knows Nicodemus thinks he's got a place set for him there. And R.C. Sproul says, there is an absolute requirement that must be met if a person is to enter God's kingdom. A person must be changed by God. The disposition of his heart, which by nature does not want to do God's bidding, must be altered by God the Holy Spirit. Man's natural tendency, those born of the flesh, man's natural tendency is to flee from the presence of God and to have no affection with the biblical Christ. Therefore, if you have in your heart today an affection for Christ at all, it is because God the Holy Spirit, in his sweetness, in his power, in his mercy, and in his grace, has been to the cemetery of your soul and has raised you from the dead. So you are now alive to the things of Christ, and you rejoice in the kingdom into which he has brought you. And isn't that a wonderful description? A wonderful description on that. Do you feel any affection for Christ? Do you feel any love for Christ? Any desire for Christ? Is there any sense in which you are drawn to Christ? That's the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. As Sproul put it, he has been to the cemetery of your soul and has raised you from the dead and has breathed new life into you. He's given you that birth from above. You've been born again. You've been born again. And you see, that is what God is doing in Nicodemus. What sweet grace given here to this Pharisee of Pharisees, a self-righteous man. What grace is on display here? Jesus is sovereignly, graciously drawing Nicodemus out. Jesus is sovereignly, graciously drawing Nicodemus out of the dark, that dreadful dark, and into the light, the marvelous light, the glorious light. He's giving this blind man eyes to see. He's giving this law-centered, self-righteous Pharisee the sweet wine of the gospel. You see what we're seeing in this story? We are witnessing Jesus bring a man to saving faith. Witnessing Jesus bringing him to saving faith in Jesus. But Nicodemus is not quite there yet. More is needed. Notice what Nicodemus says in verse 9. He answers Jesus and says to him, "How can these things be?" Now, that's his shortest question, and I suppose it's not that unusual when we're talking about theological things, but it's followed by the longest answer. But that's significant, because you see, Nicodemus' questions are being answered. Jesus is ministering to his heart. Jesus is drawing him out of darkness into light. And we'll look at Jesus' lengthy and wonderful response to Nicodemus next time. Jesus has said to Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you remain in the darkness. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And the birth that you need can't come from man. It doesn't matter how much you do, Nicodemus. You can't do what is needed. You need a birth from above, from the Spirit. How can these things be then? If there's nothing I can do, how can these things be? Well, you know by now that Jesus will point Nicodemus to himself. John would have us see that these things can only be in Christ Jesus. And we'll give attention then to that lengthy response, that rich response, next time. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this gospel, for all the gospels. We thank you for those encounters with Jesus that reveal so much of our own hearts and our own needs and our questions, and then also reveal your grace, that you are a friend of sinners, revealing how you work in our hearts and in our lives. Father, I pray that everyone here would know that birth from above, and that Spirit would be moving in all of us, causing us to have great affection for Jesus, a growing affection for him and for his people. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.